This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Adam today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Adam. Welcome back to the Adam Schefter Podcast as we come to you today from Orlando, Florida, the site of the NFL owners meetings, the annual event that the league holds each year to go over proposed rule changes and have draft discussions and really state of the game. And so we are here now in Orlando taping this week's podcast when we will be joined by the new New York Jets wide receiver, Mike Williams, who signed last week a one-year deal worth up to $15 million to go from catching passes from Justin Herbert to Aaron Rodgers to sampling the New York food like the Taylor ham and egg cheese sandwich that was sent his way. We'll talk to Mike Williams about his food tastes, his new quarterback, and life in New York. But before we get to Mike Williams, first, we'll be joined by the co-host of the Fancy Focus podcast, my friend Daniel Dopp, the quarterback of the weekly six-pack.
Thank you very much, Adam. This is one team that does not have a quarterback controversy. That is you and I. Appreciate that introduction. Let's dive right into this. You're at the owners' meetings, Adam. I remember a couple years ago, I actually went with you to these owners' meetings to be able to sit down and talk with a handful of people. A totally different experience than anything I would have imagined. You're there right now. Talk us through some of the stuff that's going on at these owner meetings.
Well, before I answer that, Daniel, why was it a totally different experience than what you would have imagined?
Oh my gosh. So we interviewed a handful of people, Sean McVay, first year coach for the Rams at that point. And I remember meeting Sean, and I met him again later on, 2 or 3 days later. He saw me walking around because you had introduced me, and he said, "Hey, Daniel, what's going on?" Which felt like it just went right to the Sean McVay that we talk about having this photographic memory. So between that and meeting a bunch of owners and coaches, and it just felt like maybe I just felt like I was the guy out of place, but it was a very cool moment. But that was a couple years ago. Tell me about what's going on right now in 2024.
Well, Daniel, you know what it's like here at these meetings. Owners, GMs, coaches, team presidents. Really, it's a who's who that happens every year. And already we've seen some news come out of the NFL owners meetings as we record this Monday afternoon. The NFL owners voted to ban the hip drop tackle, which has greatly upset numerous players across the league, especially defensive players, who are wondering, in a league where the rules are designed to favor offensive players, now there's one more way that defensive players are limited, and it's going to be harder for defenders to bring down offensive players. Now, they're trying to avoid some of these injuries, and obviously the league is thinking of the players' health and safety, but even the NFL Players Association was against the league banning the hip drop tackle. The Players Association, which tells you that they didn't want this to happen, but it did. So we've got that going on. Now, as we record this, we're waiting on a vote on the new kickoff rule, which is mimicking the XFL kickoff, which is designed to increase the rate of frequency that kickoffs are returned and supposedly, and it sounds contradictory, lower the injury rate on kickoffs. Now, I don't know how you get more kickoffs and a lower injury rate, but the league believes that this would be that. The play would be a kickoff. It wouldn't start until the player touched the football in a nutshell. Then players could start running. We'll see whether it gets approved. I can tell you this, from what I've picked up here at the meetings, the league and many people in the league want the rule to pass. There are many coaches and general managers that are against this rule, Daniel. They feel like it's, how shall we say, a radical, to use the word that Mike Tomlin used on Monday, a radical departure from the rules that the league knows. And it would be one more way that coaches could be questioned, because this would be a whole new item to figure out for coaches. It would open up people to wondering why they're kicking it off or not kicking it off or returning it a certain way or not returning it a certain way. And coaches are under a lot of pressure. I don't think they're looking for a radical kickoff measure to be introduced. And so we'll see whether or not this proposal is voted on Tuesday. Again, we're taping this Monday afternoon. But the owners' meetings to me also, Daniel, are always the line, the real line of demarcation. The NFL draft, I believe, is exactly 1 month from now. So we are 1 month away from the NFL draft that will be held on Thursday, April 25th in Detroit. And to me, once you get past the owners' meetings that last month, it's time to dive headfirst, all in, to NFL draft coverage, because it all leads up to that, the last week there in April, April 25th, 6th, 7th in Detroit. And so I know we're talking about roles. I know there's conversation about which teams could move up in the draft or move back. But I also think that it's a line of demarcation to a certain extent, where now the full-on draft talk, Mel Kiper, Field Yates, now it kicks into overdrive, Daniel, and it's going to be draft talk heavy from here on in.
Heck yeah. I absolutely love that. A lot of things happened at these owner meetings, Adam. Any chance that we got any clarification on the reporting as eligible situation that the Lions had to deal with as a part of the owners' meetings? Has that rule been changed by any chance? No?
Not that I've heard of. You know something that I don't, Daniel?
Because no, I'm just a bitter Lions fan that it was still a thing we had to deal with. No big deal. All right, Daniel, topic number two.
Daniel, it's 2024. Let's move past it.
Let's move it. Okay, all right. That's fair. New season. You're right. New season. Topic number two of the six pack. It feels like running backs, Adam, in spite of, like, we talked about how they might not have as big of a market as some of those other positions, but man, they just flew off the shelves. It felt like once running backs started to go. Talk to me about the running back free agent market this year.
This was a point I wanted to make on the podcast last week that got overshadowed with all the news and all the things that were going on. But I had it down and I wrote it down the very first day of free agency after speaking to some executives across the league about what stood out about this year's free agent class. And I think one of the big things that stood out was that all these running backs landed deals, and pretty good deals, early on in free agency. We saw Saquon Barkley go to Philly. We saw Josh Jacobs go to Green Bay. We saw Tony Pollard go to Tennessee. We saw backs leave all across the league. Lots of movement. Derrick Henry to Baltimore. And the theory going around is that teams recognized that not only had backs been overlooked in the past, which they had been, but that it's not a great draft for running backs. Mm-hmm. And I had a couple of people tell me that they don't believe that there will be a running back drafted in the first round this year. So if you're looking to get a running back, really, the most effective way to do it is in free agency. And the prices are affordable enough that there's no reason for teams not to add a position that important, even if the prices have been depressed on them. And with the market and the draft not being as deep as normal. Last year, we saw Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs become mm-hmm. first-round picks. I don't think, in the eyes of talent personnel men, that that type of talent exists at the running back position in this year's draft. So, as a byproduct, teams went all in free agency at the running back position because they weren't counting on getting help at the running back position in the draft. And that, as much as anything else, is why we saw this surge of teams pouring out of the gate to go sign running backs to big money deals after last year. Nobody wanted to sign the franchise running back, Saquon Barkley, Tony Pollard, and Josh Jacobs. Last year, they just sat there unwanted. This year, it felt like everybody wanted to add a back, and that can be tied to the lack of quality running backs in the upcoming draft next month.
Yeah. Adam, I think you hit the nail on the head. And between that, and you tell me if this helped anything, but did the increase in salary cap this year maybe make it easier for owners to shell out money for running backs? Or am I just...
I don't buy that, Daniel. Like, to me, if I said to you your allowance this week is $100 and I gave you an extra $10 and your allowance was $110, I don't know, maybe you go spend extra in a certain area that you wouldn't have planned on adding. But I just think teams are allocating those dollars to extensions, to positions they need, to whatever it may be to fill needs. I don't think it's like, okay, we got extra money, let's go add a running back now.
Sure. Do you want to give me $100 a week as an allowance, Adam? Because I won't say no if you just want to give me $100 a week. All right, let's go. Topic number three, my friend. We got a couple of running backs that are still out there, though. You just mentioned a bunch of guys that already came off the market. They're with teams. We got a handful of guys that are still out there. J.K. Dobbins obviously coming back from that injury. Dalvin Cook, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Ezekiel Elliott, Kareem Hunt. I mean, there's a bunch of names.
Yeah.
Is there a chance that any of these guys potentially land somewhere that could be helpful?
Well, don't you think one of them has to land in Dallas? I had the chance to talk to the Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy at the league meetings on Monday, and I'm like, Mike, have you watched what's gone on in New York during free agency? Have you watched what's gone on in Philadelphia during free agency? Have you watched what's gone on in Washington during free agency? Like,
yep.
Are you like, you've re-signed your long snapper. That's what the Cowboys have done in free agency so far. And he was like, we've got a lot of guys coming off IR. We've got a lot of guys coming out of their second year, going to the third year, where guys make jumps in their play. Like, they think that they have this surge of talent coming, and they don't need to. Now, saying all that, he's probably going to be right. He knows his roster, but they still could use a running back. So I won't be surprised if in the end, one of those backs that you mentioned, whether it's Dalvin Cook or J.K. Dobbins or whoever it may be, winds up in Dallas. I'd love Ezekiel Elliott to wind up there. I think that'd be kind of cool if he found his way back to Dallas. I think they could use him. I don't know that to date there's been a whole lot of conversation to that regard, but there's some decent running backs out there still. For as many as there are who have been signed, there's still some running back talent. Dallas certainly could use a running back. I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas added at some point one of these guys, whether it's right before or after the draft. We'll see how it works out. But yeah, there's still some running back talent out there. And like you said, in a draft that's not great at running back talent, be a good spot for a team to add one of these guys.
Adam, Dallas's running backs are Rico Dowdle and Deuce Vaughn, who's like 5'5", 165 pounds. So yeah, getting a guy like Ezekiel Elliott to come home to Dallas sounds like a great idea.
Well, let me say this. When I asked Mike McCarthy about that, he referred to Rico Dowdle, the fact that he re-signed him last week, as being a big deal. So
really? Okay.
I just put it on your radar. We'll see if it turns out to be true, but it sounds like they're counting on Rico Dowdle to make some steps this upcoming season.
Wow. I'm going to tuck that nugget away potentially for fantasy football in a couple of
exactly,
months.
Exactly, Daniel.
All right. Let's talk topic number four. T. Higgins was franchised by the Cincinnati Bengals. Obviously, they're trying to get a long-term deal done with T to make him be a part of that franchise. Is there a chance that they get that done, or do you think that T potentially could be playing for another team?
Well, here's the problem for the Bengals. They have not negotiated with him in a year. And so when you get a player like this who's not happy and who has voiced his displeasure about being there and who has said he wants to be traded, the problem that you have is when you get players that are disgruntled like this, you don't know the kind of production that you're going to get out of them. You don't know if their back's going to be bothering them during the season, their hamstring's going to tighten up, their knee's going to be achy, their shoulder's going to be – like, there's a lot of things that could go wrong with T. Higgins if the Bengals don't trade him. And so, to me, we'll see if there's a team out there that did not address its wide receiver need, that still is in that market, that has cap space to sign T. Higgins to the type of extension that he would want and to compensate the Bengals. Now, to me, it's a second-round pick. To me, that gets it done. T. Higgins, I believe, was the 35th overall selection in round two. And if there's a team out there that has a two, maybe it's a 2 and a 7 just to throw in something extra. I don't know. But if there's a team out there that has an extra pick and a need at the wide receiver position and the cap space, I think T. Higgins would be the play. Now, again, I don't think he's going to be happy there in Cincinnati. I think that that ship has sailed. I think T. Higgins, I don't know that he's ever going to be a bona fide, consistent, contributing member to the Bengals ever again, unless he gets that long-term deal that they haven't even spoken about. So there's a real issue there, and that will be a story that's worth charting as the draft gets closer. And keep in mind, Daniel, we've already seen two franchised players dealt this offseason. The Panthers traded Brian Burns to the Giants. The Titans, and we'll get into this, traded for the Chiefs cornerback Lejarius Sneed. Two franchise players traded this offseason. Let's see if T. Higgins becomes the third.
Adam, you led into it perfectly. Let's head into topic number five. You mentioned the Lejarius Sneed trade. The Titans gave up a 2025 third-round pick and swapped seventh-rounders with the Chiefs in order to shore up their cornerback. They also made a couple of moves on the offensive side of the ball, getting both Calvin Ridley and Tony Pollard. What do you make of all the moves that the Titans have made so far this offseason?
And you didn't even mention the center that they signed in free agency, Lloyd Cushenberry. So they have been incredibly active and busy during free agency, adding a lot of talent. Like, if you could have said at the start of free agency, hey, you'll come out of this with Calvin Ridley, Tony Pollard, Lajarius Sneed, Lloyd Cushenberry, you'd be like, wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Right?
And that division, it's amazing because a year ago, nobody was thinking of the AFC South as this competitive division. Well, lo and behold, Houston drafts C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson. Houston looks like a force to come. Jacksonville's been a playoff contender for years to come. The Colts were vastly improved. And now the Titans have gone out and added some real free agent talent. I don't know if there have been many teams any more active than Tennessee. And they get Lajarius Sneed for a 2025 third-round pick. Now, the issue there was the Chiefs needed his cap space. They didn't plan to re-sign him. So they were looking to move on, and the Titans were able to get a deal done with him. Sneed, my understanding is, passed his physical on Monday, so the deal and the trade is going to go through. And there we have it. Lajarius Sneed will be a Tennessee Titan. The Chiefs now have another hole at the cornerback position. It's what they were expecting, but the Titans have really loaded up, and the AFC South division, to me, has gotten much, much more competitive, Daniel.
Not only have they loaded up, Adam, but they have the 7th overall pick in this year's draft, a really early first rounder to potentially add more to this roster. So Titans making moves here to help solidify their spot in the AFC South. All right, last one here, topic number 6. Let's talk about the Jets. Brought in Tyron Smith, obviously Morgan Moses being able to bring him back. You've got a bunch of moves. We talked about Mike Williams coming over at the top of this. It feels like the Jets are doing everything they can to maximize this window where they have Aaron Rodgers. Talk to me about the moves the Jets have made to make sure that they take advantage of the time that Aaron Rodgers has left.
Well, look, let's go back 1 year to when they traded for Aaron Rodgers. And there were people who were saying the Jets are a Super Bowl contender. Mm-hmm. And Aaron Rodgers goes out and tears his Achilles in the very first game in the first quarter, which completely sucked the life out of MetLife Stadium. But now, let's for a moment pretend that Aaron Rodgers comes back and is healthy. Let's pretend he makes it through the full season. Let's pretend we are where we were a year ago when the Jets get Aaron Rodgers and there were people saying that, hey, this team can be competitive. This team can go to the playoffs. This team can go far. Well, they've gone out this offseason and they have solidified their roster in all the spots that they needed it. You think about it, right? I wondered, how are they going to address the offensive line? They trade for Morgan Moses from the Baltimore Ravens. They sign John Simpson from the Baltimore Ravens. And they add Tyron Smith. Now, if Tyron Smith is healthy, that offensive line is going to be very good. They go out and sign Mike Williams, the wide receiver that the Chargers released. Now, if Mike Williams is healthy, he's coming off his ACL, him and Garrett Wilson, tremendous. So again, if you got Mike Williams, Aaron Rodgers, and Garrett Wilson together, and Aaron's healthy and Mike's healthy, wow.
Didn't even mention the running back yet and Breece Hall, Adam.
Breece Hall, right? And listen, Daniel, the offensive line, when you line it up on paper, left tackle right now, Tyron Smith, left guard, John Simpson, free agent addition from Baltimore, center, former second round pick, Joe Tippmann, right guard, Elijah Vera Tucker, former first-round pick, right tackle, Morgan Moses, who they really wanted. So these guys are out there like it's a good offensive line, capable of protecting the quarterback. All of a sudden, the Jets become interesting. Now, I know their fans have heard this before, and one of the fans joked that, hey, Tyron Smith will probably fall on Mike Williams during training camp, you know, and someone will get hurt because that's how things have gone in Jets land. But they've done what they had to do. Going into this draft, they have the 10th overall pick. They're going to be able to add another really good player. And so all you can do is all you can do right now. And they've done it. And last week, the big acquisition, of course, was Mike Williams. Mike Williams was wooed when he came to New York and became a big deal in New York, to my surprise, to my interest, that basically a Jets fan, and forgive me if I get the story incorrect, but a Jets fan sent him a sandwich, a New York Taylor ham, egg, and cheese sandwich. That became like an instant phenomenon. So you know what? We said, with all the moves the Jets had made, with the injury that Mike Williams has had to overcome, with the deal he signed and the food that he got while he was in New York, let's get Mike Williams on the podcast. And that's what we did, Daniel. We reached out to Mike Williams, and we got him, we arranged for him to be this week's guest. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Adam today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Adam. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza, better because it has to be. How you doing there, Mike?
I'm good. How you doing?
Thank you very much for taking the time. Appreciate it. Quite a week, huh?
Yeah. It's been a week for sure.
How would you describe the whole week?
I don't know. It felt like getting recruited again in college. Like when you're going out from leaving high school, going to college, you know, meeting with the teams, just getting to know everybody. Yeah, it felt like a little college visit or something like that.
But you only took one recruiting trip, Mike.
I know. That's kind of how it was in college too. I took one trip and then kind of made my decision like that too. But yeah, it was pretty good.
And you had the other trips lined up. Like you were ready to go to Carolina, you were ready to go to Pittsburgh, and you never got on the plane.
Nah. Yeah. I actually had a flight that same day at 7 p.m. Time started trickling down. I started calling my people like, hey, I don't know if I'm gonna make it to Carolina today, but we gonna see. But the visit went well. Everything went well. That's why we was able to work things out, because I mean the decision just was it just made sense to me, you know, just the situation that I was coming into, what I was looking for, and everything just was the right, you know, thing I was looking for. So that's why I made the decision.
Look, money's always a part of this, but let's take the money out of it, if we can, and just say, what caused you not to get on the plane to go to any of those other trips with the visit to the Jets?
Just an opportunity to play with Aaron Rodgers. That was the main thing for me. I wanted to be able to, you know, I played with Phillip Rivers, going from, you know, Phillip to Justin, now Aaron. I feel like I'm, you know, getting some pretty good quarterback. So, yeah, just Aaron, that was a big thing for me, you know, being able to play with him, pick his brain. It's coming into year 8, but I feel like I still can get better in this league. And I feel like playing with him, it will allow me to, you know, like, learn a lot more things from him, playing alongside getting big, just to have a running mate. So everything just looked good just coming in.
Since you signed with the Jets, Mike, have you had any communication with Aaron Rodgers?
Not yet. I talked to Garrett, though. We spoke the other day, but not Aaron. I actually was supposed to get his number yesterday and just had a busy day rehabbing, working out, doing everything. Just forgot. But, yeah, I'm going to hit him up today, though.
I could have sent you his number, but he told me to lose his number, so that wouldn't work exactly. Otherwise, I would have sent it to you.
Yeah. But nah, I'm going to reach out today. I think he's out here training in L.A. also, so maybe we can link up sometime this week or whenever the time is right to finally meet.
And what did Garrett have to say about you and he joining forces this year with the Jets?
He was just like, congratulations, just can't wait to get to work. It's going to be exciting, just to sum it up in, you know, good words. But yeah, just excited for the opportunity that we both have ahead of us, and we both looking forward to it.
You mentioned the quarterbacks. Like, there are a lot of wide receivers that don't get to play with quality quarterbacks. You get to go from Philip Rivers to Justin Herbert to Aaron Rodgers. That's an incredible trio of quarterbacks that you get to play with there, Mike.
For sure. That, like I was saying earlier, that was one of the biggest things coming into this whole process, was looking for someone who can lead us and be a reliable option. And just, I mean, Aaron, I feel like that's a no-brainer, right? One of the best to ever play the game. But yeah, I had some pretty good quarterbacks in my career. I actually talked to Phil yesterday. He was just saying, congratulations. It's going to be amazing to see Aaron throwing you the ball. But yeah, I feel like I had a pretty good special group throwing me the ball so far.
Give me one way to describe Philip Rivers and then one way to describe Justin Herbert before we move on to the next topic. What stands out about Rivers and Justin Herbert?
Philip Rivers, one word, or just describe him?
Yeah. What comes to mind when I say Philip Rivers?
Philip Rivers, leader, passionate about the game, go bring the energy, go talk trash. He going to put everybody where they need to be. Each position, he know what the defense doing before the defense know what they doing. So yeah, Phil was just a genius at the game, and he studied day in, day out, and you can see it on the field. Justin, a phenomenal athlete, arm talent is, you know, the elite of the elites. Still growing, still got a lot to prove in this league also, and soon will be an MVP in this league, I believe. So yeah, I had a pretty good group of quarterbacks so far.
MVP in this league for Justin Herbert?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I feel like he's that type of player. He could be the face of this league also. I feel like he's that type of talent.
He's got an unbelievable arm. I want to go back to the visit in New York, because there was a big thing made of the fact that there was a Jets fan that sent you a New York Taylor ham, egg, and cheese sandwich during your visit.
Yeah.
Let's be honest here, Mike. How much did that New York Taylor ham, egg, and cheese sandwich play into you staying with the Jets?
That whole sandwich day was a big situation. You know that? I really didn't think much of it when I saw it on, because I saw it on Twitter like a couple days before that. Somebody wrote like, oh yeah, Mike's landing at this time. He landing at night at the airport. We're going to have this sandwich ready for him. I'm like, well, that's not my flight for one. And then I don't know how they figured it out that I was landing the next day or something, but yeah, they just figured it all out and had the sandwich there waiting. It was actually pretty good. But I wasn't expecting the whole situation to like blow up like that, but it kind of went big. So it was like, let's get you this sandwich. Let's try it. And it was actually pretty good, but I want to actually go to the store and try it. They was able to donate money to a charity after all that. So that was amazing. But yeah, it was a pretty good situation.
See, that's the one thing I'm going to tell you right now, Mike. You're in New York, right? There are tremendous marketing opportunities. The fact that you've already been linked to this sandwich, you got to get your agents on this, because there's an opportunity here. We can't let this go by the wayside here.
Trust me, we've been on that from the get-go.
Might we have a sponsorship deal this year for a New York Taylor ham and egg and cheese sandwich for Mike Williams?
We might. We in the works of talking to some people, so we're going to see.
So you are talking to some people about that, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. After all that, yeah, we got to see what the opportunity is behind it. So, yeah, we've been contacting some people talking about it.
And have you ever spent any sizable amount of time in the New York metropolitan area? Like, you were there that day, you went to the Nets game that night, you got to experience the city a little bit. Have you had much experience with this area before?
Well, I visited New York probably twice before. I know I went on a bye week a few years ago, just to kind of get away and relax. And then I was home in South Carolina and made a quick weekend trip maybe a couple years ago. So, yeah, I spent a little time there. I mean, not as much as I wanted to, but now I get to spend a lot more time there now that, you know, I will be there. So I'm looking forward to that also.
Now, I want to take you back to last season. You tear your ACL. I want to know what it feels like to tear your ACL during a football game.
I don't know. It was kind of weird to me. When it happened, you know, I felt something. But then when I got up, I got helped to the sideline, then I'm moving around. I'm like, oh, maybe it's just like a little burner, so like a stinger or something. I'm going to be good. Then the doctor kind of did like the little ACL test. He was like, we got to get an MRI on this. But yeah, I walk up the plane, walk to the car, drove home, went to sleep, woke up. pretty swollen the next morning when they got the MRI, and told me about 30 minutes later that I tore it, and I was just kind of devastated, you know, just looking forward to having a great season, and then that happened the third game of the season. But yeah, pretty good rehab session is going on right now. Looking forward to, you know, getting back out there on the field and, you know, running routes and catching more passes.
It's doubly devastating, I would imagine, when you tear your ACL in the third game of the season, for the fact that, number one, you don't get to play anymore the rest of the year. But you're also in your contract. Well, you were going to the last year of your contract, right, at that point in time?
Yep. That's true. Yeah, that was part of it, too. I was looking to have a big year, go out, ball out, and, you know, kind of finish my career with the Chargers. But obviously, you know, they had to make some decision, me coming off ACL. Respect decision. So I wasn't really tripping about it. I kind of expected it. Really wasn't having too much communication with the organization after the switch with the whole new GM head coach and whole staff. Right. So it was kind of expected. I respect the decision. They had to make some decisions, and they made them, so I respect it.
But I would imagine if you don't tear your ACL and you go on to have the big year that you were having,
I might still be in the position.
Exactly. That's my point.
Allen just had one of the best years of his career, and he's not there. So I'd probably be in the same situation.
How do you feel about Keenan playing in Chicago? How does that? What goes through your mind when I say Keenan Allen's a Chicago Bear?
For me, I feel like Keenan was one of those players where I never thought he would leave, just because, I mean, he's Keenan Allen. He was coming off one of his best seasons, and I mean, I thought he was going to be a Charger forever. So I was in Paris when it happened. It happened like 3 a.m. for me. I just randomly woke up and look at my phone. I'm like, dang, Keenan just got traded. And I don't think I've been to sleep in like 3 days since then. But yeah, it was just crazy just seeing it. I couldn't believe it. I thought it was a dream. But yeah, I mean, he excited for his opportunity. Yeah. He's going to have a great opportunity there with him, DJ. And they might draft Caleb also. So yeah, I think that's a pretty good situation for him.
Probably stronger than Mike draft Caleb. Probably stronger than that, Mike. Probably can count on them taking Caleb at number one. I'm going to guess that right now. Back to your ACL for a moment. Where are you in your recovery, and when do you expect to be ready?
Well, I'm like 4.5 months out, 5 months out. So I should be ready. I will be ready for week one of the season. That's my goal. Everything looking good. Got a meeting with my doctor here next week. So take some more steps, keep building, and, you know, make my way up there.
And do you have any goals or visions for the upcoming season coming off the ACL? Is it the kind of thing where you think you'll have to ramp up, or do you think that you can kind of head into the season full speed ahead?
Well, my goals is to get healthy. And, you know, I mean, I'm going on year 8. I want to win a Super Bowl.
Who doesn't?
Right? I want to win a Super Bowl. So I feel like that's whatever it takes to do that. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to kind of, you know, be the last team standing, holding that trophy up at the end. So whatever that takes. And I want to be available for every game. So those are my goals for this season.
Well, Mike, you share something with a lot of Jet fans. The Jet fans also not only want to win a Super Bowl, they want to get back to the playoffs. It's been a starving fan base for an awful long period of time, and they've been through so many difficult periods here. And there may not be a fan base that's any more hungry for playoff wins and a Super Bowl victory than the New York Jets. If you could somehow find a way to help this team rally to get to the postseason and achieve some of the goals that you have for yourself and that this organization has, oh my God, you'd be a hero in New York.
It's going to be crazy, right?
Well, if you can make it happen,
we're taking the steps, though, in the right direction. You know,
They've had a very good offseason, the Jets. Like, here's the whole thing. If you're healthy and Tyron Smith's healthy and Aaron Rodgers is healthy, if everybody's healthy, a lot of ifs there, Mike, but if everybody's healthy, this should be a good, strong, competitive team.
For sure. And I think we all know that. And I feel like we all know that we still have to put in the work, though, to be that team. And I feel like with the guys you just named, I feel like we all go come in every day, compete, lead the team and, you know, make sure we go in the right direction. Just take it one day at a time. Obviously, you got to be able to build chemistry with everybody. Everybody got to learn everybody, the new acquisitions. But we just got to just come in every day, work hard, come in, be leaders, work, and, you know, play every play like it's your last.
But this team has been in a playoff drought. What do you know about this team's history?
The history? Yeah. I mean, I feel like the history really don't matter right now. I feel like it's a new Jets era, new team, new faces. So, yeah, I feel like a playoff run couldn't happen with this team if we put in the work and focus on us and not, you know, the outsiders. I feel like we can do it.
And what do you know about this particular Jets team as it's currently constituted, Mike?
I know the defense is amazing. I think we got some pretty good receivers, great quarterback, great running back. O-line is a beast in building. So, yeah, I feel like we are great on both sides of the ball. So we got a pretty good chance.
Any of the defensive guys reached out to you the way that Garrett Wilson has?
Oh, yeah. I talked to Sauce. We talked a few times before that, but yeah, he reached out after everything happened and I talked to him. So that was pretty cool.
Is there one cornerback in the league, Mike, that is, in your mind, as tough as any to go against?
Corners? Well, I seen Pat Surtain twice a year. When I was with the Chargers, pretty good, long, smart. I'd probably say Pat Surtain, just because I see him twice a year. So, you know,
How about LeJarius Sneed, who's going to Tennessee?
Oh, Sneed, yeah, Sneed was pretty good too. Feisty. He want to quick jam you. You got to be on your toes with him. But yeah, he was pretty good. Also, we had some good battles.
Now you're gonna get to learn some new cornerbacks in the AFC East here.
Yeah. Looking forward to that also. Yeah, it's cool. It's going to be pretty good. I think I have the best on my side, though, so we're going to be good.
Yeah, you'll get some good reps and practice every single day, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it'll be an exciting adventure for you, and I know the fans in New York are very happy to have you, and it's a fan base that's starving and waiting to win, and if you guys can get it together and win here, there's few things quite like winning in New York, Mike.
For sure. Why not now?
Why not now? Why not now? Make up the t-shirts. Why not now?
I know, right? Why not now?
Hey, you got the t-shirts of why not now, and you got the New York Taylor ham, egg, and cheese
and I can, yep,
sandwich exactly. Marketing. You're all set. You're ready to get to New York here, Mike.
Hey, I'm ready.
Hey, I appreciate making the time today. Continued success. Getting ready and well from the ACL injury. We'll be watching this season. Congratulations on the decision and appreciate making the time.
I appreciate you too. You keep me updated on all the news around the league. So I check in every day. So appreciate you too. Thank y'all for having me.
I thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. Nice guy, Michael Ames. Enjoy talking to him. And let's hope that he can, in fact, be ready for opening day. The word he used was will. Will be ready for opening day. Which is exactly what Jet fans want to hear, that he will be ready on opening day, coming off that ACL. He believes he'll get there. And if, again, Daniel, if he's there, if he's healthy, and if Tyron Smith is healthy, and if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, the Jets are going to have a good season. It's all riding on the health of some players who have not been healthy recently. Yeah. They need them to be healthy. All right, like you said, we started this podcast by saying we're at the owners' meetings. And this is interesting because I checked into my hotel here, and bellhop had to carry up a bag for me. And as we were coming to the room, he said, "Mr. Schefter, how's your family doing?" And I thought, well, that's unusual for Andrew the bellhop to be asking about my family. I said, "How do you know about my family, Andrew?" And he said, "Well, I've been working here for 15 years. And I remember your girl, your baby girl, very little, you having her here. And she just left a mark on me. And your family left a mark on me." And this guy, who's been working at the same hotel, Andrew the bellhop, for 15 years, remembered taking my family to our room to get us checked in, which was amazing to me that he would remember later. So I asked some people, like, when has the NFL owners' meetings been at the hotel we're at in Orlando? 2018 last time, 2014 before that. So it had to be 2014, at which point my daughter would have been 4.5 years old, which would have been about the age that she was. So we're talking about 11 years ago, I guess, right? 2014, 10 years ago. So 10 years ago, this gentleman, who was very, very nice and very attentive, remembered the fact that he checked this in. And just want to give Andrew the bellhop a little shout out for his great service. Very nice of him to remember everything like that. All right, Daniel, next week on this podcast, we are going to be joined by one of the new backup quarterbacks for the San Francisco 49ers, a man who was maybe as good a story as there was in the NFL this past season, the Pastronaut himself, Josh Dobbs. He's going to stop by here and talk about the journey that he was on last year that took him from Cleveland to Arizona to Minnesota before he just signed with San Francisco this past week. We'll be joined in this spot next week by the Pastronaut, Josh Dobbs. All right, today we want to thank the new New York Jets wide receiver, Mike Williams, for his time. You, Daniel Dobbs, for leading another hopefully successful six-pack. Our great producers, Christina Buswell, Sarah Abbott, and you, the listener, for tuning in to another Adam Schefter podcast. Like I said, we'll be back in this spot next week with Josh Dobbs. Until then, have a great week, everybody. Be well and stay safe.